On the other side of the door, Roland took Henchik's hand, weaving the Branny Bob's chain between his fingers. Now the circle was complete, save for the one spot directly in front of the door. Jake took a deep breath, looked around, saw Oi sitting against the wall of the cave about 10 feet behind Cantab, and nodded.
"Oi, stay. I'll be back,"
Jake sent, and then he stepped into his place. He took Callahan's right hand, hesitated, and then took Roland's left. The humming returned at once. The Branny Bob began to move, not in arcs this time, but in a small, tight circle. The door brightened and became more there. Jake saw this with his own eyes. The lines and circles of the hieroglyphs, spelling unfound, grew clearer. The rows etched into the doorknob began to glow. The door, however, remained closed.
"Concentrate, boy."
That was Henchik's voice, so strong in his head that it almost seemed to slosh Jake's brains. He lowered his head and looked at the doorknob. He saw the rose. He saw it very well. He imagined it turning as the knob upon which it had been cast turned. Once, not so long ago, he had been obsessed by doors, and the other world, Midworld, he knew must lie behind one of them. This felt like going back to that. He imagined all the doors he'd known in his life. Bedroom doors, bathroom doors, kitchen doors, closet doors, bowling alley doors, cloakroom doors, movie theater doors, restaurant doors, doors marked keep out, doors marked employees only, refrigerator doors, yes, even those, and then saw them all opening at once.
"Open,"
he thought at the door, feeling absurdly like an Arabian princeling in some ancient story.
"Open sesame, open sesame."
From the cave's belly far below, the voices began to babble once more. There was a whooping, windy sound, the heavy crump of something falling. The cave's floor trembled beneath their feet, as if with another beamquake. Jake paid no mind. The feeling of live force in this chamber was very strong now. He could feel it plucking at his skin, vibrating in his nose and eyes, teasing the hairs out from his scalp. But the door remained shut. He bore down more strongly on Roland's hand and the pair's, concentrating on firehouse doors, police station doors, the door to the principal's office at Piper, even a science fiction book he'd once read called The Door into Summer. The smell of the cave, deep must, ancient bones, distant drafts, seemed suddenly very strong. He felt that brilliant, exuberant uprush of certainty. "Now it will happen, now, I know it will," yet the door still stayed closed. And now he could smell something else, not the cave, but the slightly metallic aroma of his own sweat rolling down his face.
"Henchik, it's not working. I don't think I—" "Nar, not yet. And never think thee needs to do it all thyself, lad. Feel for something between you and the door, something like a hook or a thorn."
As he spoke, Henchik nodded at the manny heading the line of reinforcements.
"Hedren, come forward. Thani, take hold of Hedren's shoulders. Lewis, take hold of Thani's, and on back. Do it."
The line shuffled forward. Oi barked, doubtfully.
"Feel, boy, feel for that hook. It's between thee and the door. Feel for it."
Jake reached out with his mind, while his imagination suddenly bloomed with a powerful and terrifying vividness that was beyond even the clearest dreams. He saw Fifth Avenue between 48th and 60th, the 12 blocks where my Christmas bonus disappears every January, his father had liked to grumble. He saw every door on both sides of the street swinging open at once. Fendi, Tiffany, Bergdorf Goodman, Cartier, Doubleday Books, the Sherry Netherland Hotel. He saw an endless hallway floored with brown linoleum and knew it was in the Pentagon. He saw doors, at least 1,000 of them, all swinging open at once and generating a hurricane draft. Yet the door in front of him, the only one that mattered, remained closed.
Yeah, but it was rattling in its frame. He could hear it.
"Go, kid," Eddie said. The words came from between clamped teeth. "If you can't open it, knock the fucker down."
"Help me," Jake shouted. "Help me, goddammit, all of you."
The force in the cave seemed to double. The hum seemed to be vibrating the very bones of Jake's skull. His teeth were rattling. Sweat ran into his eyes, blurring his sight.
He saw two henchicks nodding to someone behind him, Hedron, and behind Hedron, Thani, and behind Thani, all the rest, snaking out of the cave and down 30 feet of the path.